Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 4, paragraph 2. Starting with next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Denise G., 12 Traditions, Catherine N. The text will be Stephanie L. Page 164 is Dana P., and our backup reader is Penny L.C. Newcomer greeter is Noel E., and announcements are Eileen M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Diane. This is Denise G. from California, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 5, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thanks, Denise. Okay, Catherine N., will you please read the 12 traditions?
Yes, hi, Catherine N., from Virginia, compulsive overeater. 1, these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Catherine. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 4, paragraph 2. Starting with next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. And I'm going to ask Stephanie L., please, to get us going. Thank you, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. here, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. He had plenty of money left and thought I had better go to Canada. By the following spring, we were living in our accustomed style. I felt like Napoleon returning from Elba. No St. Helena for me. But drinking caught up with me again, and my generous friend had to let me go. This time we stayed broke. And before I talk about this paragraph, I just want to refer back to the last two sentences of the prior paragraph, right? The stock market crashes, and Bill's like, tomorrow's another day. You know, he drinks again, and the old fierce determination to win comes back, which is like, you know, people shared yesterday about that whole Scarlett O'Hara syndrome, tomorrow is another day or whatever. And, you know, Bill drinks more, and he realizes, okay, I can figure this out, right? Self-will, right? I can figure this out. And then here we go to, you know, the next part where he gets an idea. He phones his friend in Montreal. He had plenty of money left. And then, you know, he gets a job and goes to Canada. Bill continued to have ideas, plans, designs. He's got this figured out. I've got this. You know, and then he says, I felt like Napoleon returning. You know, I figured it out again. I overcame again. But this disease, right? Drinking caught up again. His friend who went out of his way to help him, brought him to Canada, had to let him go. And this time they stayed broke, right? You know, Bill couldn't fix this problem on self-will anymore. And it's the progression of the disease. And it reminds me of all the times I dieted. You know, I got this diet, I'd lose the weight, I'd like be that size for 2 seconds, the whole new like wardrobe of clothes that with tags on them, and I gain all the weight back, and those clothes would sit in my closet with the tags on them. And then I'd wait again because, you know, I had this, the switch will flip and I'll be able to like control this again. I'll be able to diet. And I could until I couldn't. I couldn't do it anymore. Like Bill, I had no more ideas, plans, and designs. And that's when, you know, I came to OA, and it took me a long time in OA
to get rid of my little ideas. Let me get the right sponsor. Let me get the right food plan. Let me go to the right meetings. Let me go to the right faction of OA. Is it OA How? Is it 90 Day? Is it CEA How? Let me find me still trying to control everything. And it wasn't until I let go and put aside all these, you know, these ideas that I had, or, you know, striving to figure this out, that I was able to accept this plan outlined so beautifully and masterfully in this book that brought me to a God who has saved my life again. And it's truly, truly amazing. So I can't wait to hear everybody else's take on this paragraph. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie, for getting us started on that. So today, I mean, right now we're going to take names of people. So if you could please give me your name and the initial of your last name, if you want to share. Yeah.
Annie B.
Hold on, Patty M. All right, Annie B., Patty M. There were two people in the middle there.
Teresa, Donna.
All right, Annie, Patty, Teresa, Donna. Anybody else want to share? Okay, that's a great lineup to start with. All right, Annie B., star one to unmute, please.
Hi, thank you. I'm Annie B., recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for that. It's such a good paragraph. Kate brought it to light for me already. And I remember when I was working on step two and step three, and talking to my sponsor about my self-will, because just like this paragraph, I went back to the bar, I drank, I telephoned a friend, I felt like Napoleon, like, you know, like my self-will is so determined. She's like, I can do this, Annie, and I have an answer, and it's food. And I remember talking to my sponsor about, I don't know how to combat that. Like, that's like, so she's so sure of herself, like that little part of me that's like, I can get it, because I took care of us our whole life, you know what I mean? Like, we just go to food is the answer. And it's like, that's actually killing us. Like, how do we go to, like, then at the end of the paragraph when he says, this time drinking caught up with me again, and my generous friend had to let me go, and what humiliation and what pain that must have been. And this time we stayed broke. And that happened for me too. Like, I went back to food. I binged my brains out for 5 months and then was at a loss and was like, okay, for sure now, after however many 40 plus years, I know now I'm broke. I can't do this on my own. My self-will, who has this great plan to fix everything with excess food, is wrong. So I'm just super grateful that this book gets it, and that y'all get it, and that God was the solution, that God made an answer, and that I get to just surrender my will to God's will every day. And the food is not, it's not even a thing, which is a super huge miracle. It's not even a thing. And it's, I just had my birthday, you guys, and nothing. Like, people ate other things around me, and I had a plate of fruit that I planned in my abstinent meal, and it was beautiful. And that's all God, not me. That's totally all God. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Annie. Next we have Patty M.
I'm Patty, a compulsive overeater from Florida. So happy to be here this morning. This little paragraph just showed me so much about my disease. I mean, I wrote them down. I just couldn't believe it was one after another. Geographical cure, financial insecurity, can only stay abstinent for short time because I'm working on self-will. You know, when he keeps saying the drinking caught up with me again, that's my story. I can be abstinent, get down to my perfect size, feeling great, you know, feeling like I've got the world licked. The next thing you know, I'm back in the food. And it's because I don't completely surrender my will every day, every moment, every meal, because that's going to be the only way that I can have a sane life. And this little thing, little chapter just spoke to me in volumes. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Okay, Teresa, you're up.
Hello, this is Teresa C. from New Jersey. Compulsive overeater and food addict, recovered. Okay, so what's been coming to me in this reading and other readings that I've been doing is, you know, people have talked about self-will, and I just keep going back to, you know, smashing that ego. It just gets to me so often that I understand and realize that I am trying to run the show. And that the most important thing for me is to smash that ego so that I accept and put myself in my higher power's hands and remember that, you know, not to pray for my will, but to pray for God's will to be done and for me to see that and be clear about that. And that's really all I have to share, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Teresa. Thank you. And Donna, you're up.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. So many people have already reflected on my initial thoughts on this paragraph. And as people were speaking, I was thinking about the columns in the 4-step or in a 10-step. And we look at our instincts that had been threatened. Where has my self-esteem? Where has my security? Where has my ambition? And where have my personal relationships been threatened? You know, at the root of my poor behavior, at the root of my self-will going at full speed and getting all of the dials running in my brain, thinking of every option, every alternative, every way out, is fear. And although I live in recovery today and I have neutrality with food and I'm not quite the tornado that I used to be ripping through people's lives, at my core is still a belief that I need to take care of myself, that despite how often I expose myself to the message that self-reliance fails and that God-reliance is a solution, at my human basic instinct core is the belief that self-reliance is what will get me through this life, that I can manage well, that I can use strategies, that I can come up with ways to beat the system, that there is a way that although all these people jumped from the rooftops to kill themselves and that all these people lost millions of dollars, Bill was going to be the one with a good idea, with the good connections, with the good strategies, with the smartest, most talented, most manipulative, most clever person out there, that he was going to be the exception. He was going to find a way out from the struggles that others were facing. And I fantasize about that. I fantasize about being able to beat health problems and financial problems and inflation and political insecurity and middle school problems. And so this is just such a good reminder that I am powerless. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you. We're now open to take more names for more sharing. So who wants to share next? Star one to unmute, please.
Christy M.
Christy.
Betsy W.
Janice K.
All right, I got Betsy, Christy, Betsy, and somebody W.
Alexa.
Alexa.
Noel E.
All right, hold on. Noel
Shannon
E. And I still didn't get the W person.
Becky W.
Becky W?
Yes.
Okay, so is that, okay, great. Okay, terrific. So I have, if I heard correctly, Christy M, Betsy, Alexis, Noel, Shanna C, and Becky W. So we're going to start with Christy M, please. Star one to unmute.
Good morning. This is Christy M, grateful recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater from Oregon. And I read this and just recognize so much of my own insanity from this disease of, you know, this cycle of hitting the bottom of, you know, finding myself binging and purging or binging and shame at the bottom, like all the promises that I'll never do this again. You know, like tomorrow's going to be different, and then to get up and then be in a situation with food and not be able to control myself, and then be at the bottom again. And just what a terrible cycle that is. And, you know, made me reflect on like what changed. And I would say that even when I first started in the program, I would find myself in that cycle. I would find myself getting abstinence in the program, going to meetings, working the steps and thinking, okay, I got this, like I'm better. And then I would miss a meeting or I would eat something on my abstinence list because I thought I had had it figured out. And there I'd find myself at the bottom again. And it made me think of the tools of the program, like not only the steps, but just, you know, meetings and, you know, hearing recovery and being able to share recovery and sometimes being reminded of what it's like to be at the bottom and how quickly I can get there. You know, it also reminds me a lot that recovery is a 24-hour reprieve. Like, I don't get to store up recovery. I don't get to do this meeting today. And then it's like, okay, well, now I've got recovery stored up to the next meeting. It doesn't work like that. I can quickly deceive myself into thinking that somehow I'm different or changed. But this is just a reminder, like, how quickly I can be on the bottom again. And that, you know, our recovery is a 24-hour reprieve, and it's based on our spiritual condition. And, you know, we've talked a lot about will versus our higher power, our higher power's will, and that's part of our spiritual condition. And, you know, how am I spending time with my higher power? How am I doing recovery throughout the day in between meetings? How am I working the steps? And, you know, just thinking about what is it that breaks up that pattern of finding myself on the bottom. And I find how quickly when I'm not in my fit spiritual condition, when I'm not doing recovery, how quickly I can start to believe, you know, things that I'm okay or that I'm recovered. So this to me is just a great reminder that, you know, I get 24 hours that I have to work my program like I did when I started, you know, 10 years from now, and that this is
a
disease. Thank you. I'll wrap up. And that this is a disease that's a lifelong process. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy. Okay, now Betsy, or is it Becky? Or is it two different people or one person? No Betsy. Okay, Becky W. Star one to unmute, please.
This is Becky W. I'm a compulsive overeater from Florida, recovered. And I identified with Bill W. when he said that his drinking caught up with him again. I had 9 good years of abstinence from sugar, flour, and wheat, and freedom from the phenomenon of craving, which I'd never been able to go for a day without binging. So 9 years was a total miracle. But the problem was that I failed to enlarge my spiritual life, and the mental obsession, of course, returned. And I thought I could manage my own life, and well, I had this great food plan. It was keeping me from cravings, but it wasn't enough. Of course, relapsed, and for several years, it was only by the grace of God that I came back to OA. I was able to become abstinent again, a miracle. Found a sponsor who used the vision way of sponsoring and realized that this is a daily thing where I surrender to my God day by day. And that's the only way that my food addiction is not going to catch up with me, because God has caught up with me and I've caught up with him. So thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. So let's see. That was Becky. Thank you very much. And now we have Alexis S. Star 1 to unmute, please, Alexis.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. I came into the program decades ago, and I got a sponsor about 8 years ago, and I was eating my favorite binge food every day by the gallon. And I went from 135 pounds to 300 pounds. And she said, I wish I could wave a magic wand and take it away from you, but I can't. Only a higher power can do that. So I started praying. And one day I went to this place with my daughter that sold this product, this fountain. And I couldn't do it anymore in front of her because I didn't want to be a bad example to her and have her have the eating disorder that I had. And that was God's way of telling me that, you know, love conquers all. And I had years of abstinence in the program and years of relapse. Excuse me. And it's an inside job. It doesn't depend on anything exterior. God is an inside job, and he's entirely outside of us also. It's a paradox. You know, he's found in that still, small voice that's our higher self, and he's found in that still, small voice from outside of ourselves. So, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Noelle E., please share with us. Oh, Star 1.
Hi, this is Noelle E., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Louisiana. I appreciate everybody's service on this line. Thank you for everybody who shared. I'm mesmerized by the shares on this line. And what stands out to me in this paragraph is like the coming home, like the Napoleon coming home from but like every time I did something that I thought was like this is it, you know? I've had a baby. Oh, now I've had a son. You know, like any of that kind of stuff. I just was like, this will solve it. This will resolve it. And then it continues to be in recovery. That shame of like, should have mastered, wait, how's it go? Should have already mastered everything. And even here, thinking I can self-will, because I'm doing the program part, thinking I can self-will other health things or like my life. And I'm just like, you know what? I'll figure out depression. I'll figure out that I'm depressed. You know, I'm just going to keep doing this and I'll figure it out. Like thinking that I'm better or, you know, not like anybody else, that I don't need medication. And one of the things about recovery for me is it's turned trauma into the truth. Like the secrets that I had for so long that I was pushing down and never fully looking at, I thought they were something, and now that they're out in the light of day and God has shown me who I am, they've turned into something different. They've turned into something that I just have the shame of thinking, oh, I never knew that. I never knew that happened to me. And, you know, if you bake a cake with all of these ingredients, you're going to be depressed and anxious. And so it's just, God continues to show me that, you know, my agenda for thinking, I'm someone who can be in recovery and work the program and not have to be on medication, you know, it's just self-will. It's just a new script I'd like to follow. I'd like my program to look a certain way. And I'm just grateful for the self-awareness that, you know, it's a daily reprieve that we have. I get to do this work for the rest of my life because of God's, you know, unconditional love. And that the best thing I can do for everybody in my life is recover. So thanks, everybody, for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you. Now we have, is it either Shanna C. or Chana C.? Sorry, I messed up your name. I apologize.
Good morning, this is Shanna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Haven't found it necessary to eat compulsively since September 30th, 2019, and it's a true miracle for my life. I've never been able to stick to a food plan or anything, never, ever had peace of mind around food, and never been so healthy in my life. And that said, it talks about what keeps coming to my mind is easy to, you know, rest on our laurels. And when it talks about rest on our laurels, it doesn't mean sitting around being lazy. It means resting on past successes. However, at the same time, by working through the steps, I've been able to access and be able to live in the power of God that keeps me safe and protected, that God enables me to follow the food plan. It's not me having to white knuckle it and force myself anymore. And the only thing I can explain, because I've tried this so many different times in so many different ways, was that there was a day that I woke up and I fell on my knees and begged God for help in whatever shape, form, or fashion that he was going to remove this, because I had truly gotten to that point where I saw that I was going to continue with this crazy food stuff the rest of my life unless he removed it, unless he fixed it. And I was utterly miserable, and I saw that there is a loving God that can keep me abstinent. All I got to do is follow the few simple rules on a daily basis. And for me, today, it's living in steps 10, 11, and 12, as outlined on pages 84 through 88 in the Big Book. And, you know, what I find it throughout the day, my mental life is a constant prayer usually. And there's a reason for that, because in step 3, it talks about how we're forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the world and its players in their own way. Everyone's doing it. So that's a constant thing. It's just forever trying to do that. So that's what I'm not cured of. I'm not cured of that constant need to control and manage my own life, whether it's the food, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, or whatever it is. The ego's constantly trying to grasp for power from something other than a power than God. And so with that, I've been given a way to live to arrest that on a daily basis. And it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. But it's a heck of a lot easier and more comfortable than the way I had been living. And I'll finish with this. Step two doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have God figured out before you become willing. You know, all I had to do is become willing to believe that this thing could work for me too, that there is a power greater than me. And the big book talks about how that in every man, woman, and child is the deep down in every man, woman, child is the fundamental idea of God. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but we always found that he was there. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that, you know, I'm just grateful.
Gentle reminder.
That had beat me into a state of reasonableness, and that God was there and led me to the right people and to this way of living, which works. It really does. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Shanna. And I apologize. I think I'm having a human day today because I'm pretty sure that I forgot the share IDs. So let me put those in now, and then I will say them again later because I forgot to do it earlier. So the share ID for yesterday, Monday, May 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,963. That's 18963. The ID for this morning, Tuesday, May 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,966. 18966. And I'm very sorry that I forgot those. We have time for maybe two, maybe three more people. If you want to share, please star one to unmute, and I'll take your name.
Catherine.
Barbara B.
All right, Catherine, Barbara, and one more, maybe.
Matthew G.
Okay, great. I think we're going to have to stop there. Matthew, I'm pretty sure we'll have enough time for you, too. All right, Catherine N., star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Catherine N. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hi, Catherine N., compulsive overeater, Richmond, Virginia. I just want to say that I have found this paragraph to be true for me. To me, it just illustrates the progression of this disease. You know, alcohol caught up with me once again. You know, time and time again, I found that this disease is progressive. And each time that I go out, I pick up the food, it's worse. And I know that it's my self-will trying to control the food. I found that that's absolutely impossible, and that only a power greater than myself can do that, can give me the power, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara B., your turn. Star one to unmute.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm kind of new in the program. I've been 1 year, and I'd like to say thank you for this meeting and this program, because I still suffering with my own will and knowledge. And, you know, sometimes I want to justify that I can do this or whatever. That's the other lady shared that was very helpful for me. She said, it's a daily thing. Because, you know, I feel better, but then I'm like, oh, I got this, you know, and all the ego comes back and I feel like, oh, that's okay, I'm good now. And then I see next day, it's a different day. So every day, it's a star one. It's like a day one in terms of being connected with God and being in the meetings and do the program. It's an action program. And I have a hard time sometimes, but I don't want to think about that. I can do better to do the outreach. Because I've talked with people that do outreach, they get very, very good recovered. Because we got to reach people, get out of our own comfort, you know, like our own mind, like, because I get into my own mind all day, and then I go do outreach, I reach people, and I get out of my own self. So it's amazing. I pray for, to give the control, give everything to God every day. And I thank you so much for this program and this meeting. They're all best. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. All right, Matthew G., there's plenty of time for you. Star one to unmute.
Hi, my name is Matthew G. I'm an American expat in Paris, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I just am so thrilled that I've discovered this meeting the past couple of weeks. I'm tuning in every day. It's just absolutely awesome. You guys are saving my life, and it's just, I just love going to the big book like this. It's just incredible. This paragraph I just think is pretty amazing, you know, about the level of selfishness and self-centeredness of Bill at this point of his, you know, life. And, you know, here in the paragraph before, he's completely broke. And so the next morning he calls a friend in Montreal who has money. And it's like, well, yeah, I better go where, you know, let's just go to mooch off my friend in Canada, you know. And then in the following spring, you know, months later, he's living in his accustomed style, you know, of wealth and, you know, life of luxury. And he felt like Napoleon returning from Elba. Well, actually, you know, when Napoleon returned, when he was in exile in Elba, he was welcomed. He was applauded. It was, you know, the Paris was, it was crazy. It was long live the emperor. And also that he uses the analogy of, you know, talk about self, you know, wanting to, the actor running the show. I mean, what's the emperor, the center of the universe, you know, no Saint Helena for me. That means, when he, that's where he died. That's where he, when he was exiled to St. Helena, he died there. So none of that. But then the drinking caught up with him again. Of course it did, you know, and his generous friend had to let him go. Well, yeah, because he stepped on his toes and he retaliated, his friend, you know, he kicked him out. And yeah, just what a God-inspired masterpiece book this is, that's saving all of our lives. I'm super grateful and love to all. Bye.
Thanks, Matthew. Wow, we still have time for two more shares. Anybody else care to share?
Who? Yes, Joe.
Joe, okay, one more, please.
Roberta B.
Roberta B, great. Okay, Joe.
Great, I'm Joe from Washington State, compulsive eater, and what a great tuning in this morning. Hearing some stuff I really need to hear, just the truth about, the daily reprieve. I'm granted a daily reprieve based on spiritual condition. It feels like I've been in program for a long time, but I often have that sense like I'm just waking up or I'm just getting it or something. Maybe that's a good thing called beginner's mind, but the idea that I have to hit the refresh button every day and that my ego is constantly trying to gain control, because, and it's fear-based, it's totally fear-based. So one of the things that's shifted for me in the last few years in recovery is to have a lot more compassion for my my inner addict, or whatever you might call it. In fact, I was just talking to a friend the other day about the idea that I might call this inner being the desperate survivor, the frightened survivor, which does not demonize these inner urges, but rather this urge to fix and control is so fear based. This meeting that goes through the big book is a real gift. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much. Roberta, you're up. Star one, please, unmute.
Hi, Roberta B. from Southern California. I seem to always be the last person to share. Hopefully someone will share after me. The first thing that came to my mind when I heard this reading today was, wherever I go, there I am. And, you know, I'm my own worst enemy. And I tried and tried. I was in another program for a while and was absent for 15 years, and I traveled the world, and you know, that was, then I left that program in 2015, and I have been able to get abstinent since. And coming to these rooms in January and hearing about working through the big book, I just feel so blessed. I really understood who God is, working through the steps. I feel like it's a very spiritual book. And God is everything, or he's nothing. And to me, he's everything. And spending time with God every day and just working through the big book has totally saved my life. I have some losses in my life that this past year, and they have this disease too. So this disease is very real to me, and I still couldn't get abstinent. And I don't know if it's as simple as what side of the fence did I decide I want to be on a while back when I was in the other program, and I was in it for about 3 months. I was a great 3 month yo-yo dieter. I did it good for 3 months, took the weight off, forgot what it was like, and then you know, went back to, you know, eating, and it was deprivation. And today I don't have any deprivation. I take care of myself with proper food through a dietitian, and you know, weigh and measure, and have a bigger life for it. And when I traveled, when I was in program for 15 years, I traveled all over the world. And this is what reminded me this morning with this reading, how I was abstinent no matter where I went. And I just couldn't get abstinent being home. And, you know, I can't run from myself. I have to face myself and face my truths and just live in the day. And I'm grateful to say I'm abstinent today. And that I am recovered and living life fully and making decisions that are very adult decisions that I have to make today that I couldn't make unless I was in recovery. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Roberta, and thank you everyone who shared today. Excuse me. I would like to again, say the share ID numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 18,963. And this morning, Tuesday, May 17th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 18,966. So thank you, everyone, for your service today. And thank you, everyone, who shared today and everyone who was here to help make this meeting so great. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Diane, here I am, Dana P. I am in California. Thank you so much for your service and everyone here on the line. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.